Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7. Wes, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, fellas. How are we doing? Doing all right over here.
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So this is a big matchup, very intriguing matchup for Tennessee coming up this weekend against LSU. Offensively in this game, even if Cedric Tillman can't go, what do you make of what Tennessee might have in front of them going down to Baton Rouge coming up on Saturday?
Well, you know, I think you look at Tennessee's offense and you wonder, well, who can stop this thing? I think that really, I don't know if you're going to stop it, who can contain this thing? And I think that's interesting because LSU, it's kind of a hard team to figure out. You know, there's some things the team actually does pretty well and sometimes in other areas, it's just not quite what LSU normally is. And I think I like this matchup for Tennessee's offense. I definitely like playing at Tiger Stadium at 11 a.m. as opposed to at when it's dark. So there's some advantages for Tennessee in this game, but it's a sold-out game. It's going to be hostile. It's certainly going to be louder than it was against Pitt, where Tennessee fans were almost as loud as the Pitt fans. And that's not going to be the case in Baton Rouge. So I'm fascinated by it. I think Tennessee's going to be okay. I think Hendon Hooker's playing at such a stupid level right now that they'll be okay, but you never know until you go play the game.
Well, and Wes, look, last game, obviously they were fine without Cedric Tillman. I still think, you know, they need him back, and it could be problematic in a tough game on the road if he's not available. I guess, first of all, how do you feel about that right now? And if they don't have him, you know, is how big of a concern is that? Because that you're right. LSU is interesting. They're tough to figure out. One thing they have done is they've been very good defensively in second halves of games.
They have, Joe. That's absolutely right. And I think with Tillman, I mean, they're just kind of wait and see. I mean, you know, it's hypo, like a lot of coaches these days treats that stuff like it's a nuclear secret. So, you know, you don't really know a ton, but he was moving around a little bit. He's been moving around a little bit. You know, you've seen with Tua and his tightrope surgeries before, it's possible to get back within this window, but, you know, you definitely would feel better in another week or two after that. And that's assuming he heals as quickly as Tua did, which if Tua and Tillman have anything in common, is that they're both ferociously hard workers. And so Tillman's been that way since he's been at Tennessee. So if he can't play, it won't be because he's saving himself or he's waiting. No, if he can go, he'll go because he'll try to go. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that you look at the Pitt game and Tillman was targeted 18 times in that game. And that was actually one of Tillman's worst games from the past 2 years in terms of his sort of percentages of targets caught. He just didn't have a great day, had a couple balls go off his hands. But he still was targeted 18 times in that first road game of the year. So that tells you who Hendon Hooker's security blanket is on the road. It's number four. So that's obviously a big thing to watch this week. And I think he's got a chance to play. I would still lean toward no, but we'll see.
Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Wes, with the defense and what we've seen thus far, specifically in the secondary, didn't go well against Anthony Richardson, threw for a lot of yards in that game. Overall, though, what have you made of the secondary and specifically with the corner group that we've seen thus far?
I mean, I think Kamal Haddon's probably been their best performer in the secondary over there at corner. Other than that, it's been a lot of, you know, when you talk about Tennessee's defense, you're like, hey, have you seen Tennessee's offense? Hey, that's pretty good. You know, I mean, there's no way around it. Tennessee's defense in space is a concern. And Brian Kelly, as a coach, his offense typically, and I know that LSU, they don't really have the thing humming just yet. They don't have the guys they want yet. They'll get there probably because Brian Kelly usually gets there. But they really stretch you both horizontally and vertically. It's a really, really good offense. And with Tennessee's defense, if you run right at them, like power stuff, they're really pretty good at cleaning that up. It's hard to just run over them and physically beat them. What you can do, though, is get them in space, and then they struggle. They're just not very good. In space, They don't take the best angles athletically in a pure pace matchup. They're not going to be great there. They're much better at keeping things in front of them than they are at taking care of anything that gets behind them. They're not very good in space. And I would imagine that Brian Kelly is going to watch that tape and be like, oh, we're getting the ball out quick. We're getting into the perimeter. We're going to run some pick type stuff. We're going to make them make plays against us in space. And that's going to be a challenge for Tennessee's defense. You know, it's the way Tennessee plays offense, you don't need to get more than maybe 3-4 stops per game, and you're usually in pretty good shape. But you got to go do that, and that's something that they're going to have to do. And really, they're going to have to be really, really good in the red zone, because if people are going to consistently get down inside the 20, they're going to need to hold them to 3, because that's just – if you keep holding them to – keep getting 6 and 6 and 6 and 6, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, and I still think also – you know, obviously, if you can get teams in those obvious passing situations, you know, I think the Vols can get after the quarterback, and those guys have got to be tremendous. I mean, I think they've got some young guys who are going to be really good, but you know, Young and Barron in particular, right? Like they've got to come up huge in moments, like they did at Pittsburgh. We got this game, and I hate to look past a huge game, but obviously this month, Wes, is just packed. I mean, this month is. It's an incredibly grueling month. They've been able to get some rest, but now it's just going to be one after another. Do you feel like they have enough potential players there defensively to have a successful month?
I think they do, provided the offense doesn't slip. I mean, the offense has to do its job, which is to do the heavy lifting, right? And then defensively, will you figure out better game plans? The one against Florida, I understand why they didn't want to just attack, because they wanted to make Anthony Richardson make plays or make decisions after the snap. So they kept trying to go forward with only a few guys and then drop a bunch and make him make decisions, which that's an okay plan. But once it looked pretty clear that it wasn't going to work, maybe adjusting it should have been, that later in that drive when they're like, screw it, we're coming after him. Later in that final drive, That's when they got to him. That's when they stopped him. So can they make those kinds of decisions? Can they get these things right? Because what this defense has, it doesn't have a lot of dudes, but it's got a lot of guys. They can rotate bodies in there in most positions. They can throw guys out there. They should be able to stay relatively fresh. And I do think that helped them late against Florida in that final drive. So they're going to have to get some of these calls right, and they're going to have to pick their spots. And they're going to just have to hang in there at times, because I think the way they keep rotating bodies, I think they're okay depth-wise at most places. They're okay. But will they still be in, like, the Alabama game at that point, for that to maybe matter? That's the question. They got to get these game plans right. They got to adjust right. And they got to just keep rotating guys until they find something that works.
Wes, last thing for you here. If Tillman can't go, obviously in the Florida game, the highlight play was the Ramel Keaton catch. That catch aside, is there another Ramel Keaton performance like we saw against Florida in his bag at LSU if Cedric Tillman can't go? I was blown away.
I say this. I mean, he was a top 100 prospect coming out of high school.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be this kind of a player. Actually, I say top 100. I think we had him in like 110, but basically a top 100 player. Right? Let's not pick nits over this. I don't know that he'll ever be a superstar, but Ramel Keaton is a hard worker. He does have a nice catch radius, and he does frustrate you at times, but then he'll go make some absolutely crazy plays. I've seen him do this before in practice. He's done it a couple times in games. He has the physical ability to go do this, and it's good when he's going to play well, because I'll tell you this, he's their best run blocking receiver, and he has been for probably 3 years now. He's really, really good at that. So I think that's something that he's got in his bag that is nice. I don't know that he's going to make a lot of catches like that Florida one, because that's one of the most ridiculous kind of sprawling catches that you'll see at the college level, but I do think he can play okay. I think people forget about him. Would you rather have Tillman out there? Yes, full stop. You would rather have Cedric Tillman out there. But I think Ramel Keaton's a solid player, and I think Hendon Hooker's got trust in him, and I think he showed you last week he can play.
Well, Wes, it's going to be a fun month beginning coming up on Saturday against LSU. We appreciate your time and perspective as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys. You know that.
Absolutely. Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll continue to take a look at Tennessee and LSU coming up next and take a little bit of a deeper dive in this massive Josh Heupel story that Joe Rexroad has come out with today at theathletic.com as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Join me at Broadway Brewhouse at 317 Broadway downtown Saturday for the SEC Game of the Week presented by bettinghero.com. Come join us and learn how to place a risk-free bet on Auburn, Georgia. The fun starts at 2:30.
Looking forward to that coming up this weekend. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Thanks to Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 for joining us in the last segment. Going to be a very interesting game coming up on Saturday at Tiger Stadium. Tennessee favored by 2.5 in this game going down on the road to Baton Rouge. And, Joe, you come out with a very extensive, very good piece. I'm still in the middle of reading it right now at theathletic.com today on Josh Heupel and kind of the background of how he got to this point. He's the guy with Tennessee fans right now. After you beat Florida and the start that they're off to this year, I think Tennessee is all in to Josh Heupel and what they've seen from him thus far. But, without giving away your entire article here, what was it like kind of putting together this background piece on Josh Heupel?
Well, there was a lot to it, and I talked earlier in the show. Talking to Mike Leach is probably the most entertaining part of it. Had a long interview with Josh Heupel, which actually let me read a quote that didn't make the story. There's a lot of Leach quotes that didn't make the story too. Unfortunately,
so.
Should have just gone with
just
Mike
release
Leach.
The
second
script.
Story, yes. Just that.
Yeah, Mike Leach Q&A. Please imitate Josh Heupel's North Dakota or South Dakota accent in 1998. But here's a quote from Josh Heupel that didn't make it, but I think is interesting. I just want to get your reaction to it. So, quote, and I asked him about, basically the fishbowl of being the Tennessee coach. Okay, so here's the quote. Quote from Josh Heupel: lifelong dream to be at a place that cares about it as much as I do, 365 days out of the year. You're the main attraction and people live it and breathe it every single day. You play in a stadium that is better or as good as any in the entire country. The atmosphere for the Florida game, man, it's just, I've never been a part of anything quite like that, end quote. So, on its face, that's a quote about Tennessee.
Yep.
But what I believe with Josh Heupel is that there's a fair amount of subtext going on, and reading too much into it. But when I see quotes like that, if you're an Oklahoma fan, you're like, you've never seen anything quite like this. Do you remember when you beat number one Nebraska and people were hanging off the goalposts and one of the great college football towns in the history of the sport went absolutely nuts in Red October to 2000, you beat number one Nebraska and you beat number two Kansas State and you beat number 11 Texas and all in the same month? Like, it's one of the most legendary parts of not only that program, but it's college football lore. He gets second in the Heisman. So it's just interesting to me that, and I think that's a quote about Knoxville, and he believes all that. But yep. Also, that like it's just impossible to talk about Josh Heupel and not kind of compare it to Oklahoma and how there's an alternative timeline right now where Bob Stoops doesn't basically sacrifice him at the end of the 14th season. And what everyone thought was going to happen, which is that Josh Heupel is Bob Stoops' successor and is the Oklahoma coach forever and ever, and everybody's happily ever after, that's happening. And right now, Oklahoma fans probably would take that. I think they might.
The early returns on Brent Venables are not great. Now, it is early, and there were some players that were no longer at Oklahoma that should have been there, but yes. They went off to Lincoln Riley, so all that's fine, but they look pretty bad the last couple of weeks.
And Tennessee looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And by the way, I just mentioned Red October, right? Number one, Nebraska. Number two, Kansas State. Number 11, Texas. This month for Tennessee, number one, Alabama. Number two, Georgia. Number 13, Kentucky. Could it be Orange October?
Mm.
But the, in the
really, Joe.
I know. I'm sorry. Luckily, the
GB Joe's editors, on force
editors,
today.
Yeah, editors didn't let me put that in the story. But think about this too. You know, one thing that's crazy too when you go back is like, my God, I forgot. Like Nebraska was flat out the best program in college football.
Oh yeah.
They had won three natties in the previous 6 years and had gone 71-7. And the last time they played Oklahoma, they beat them 69-7, like 2 years earlier. So, again, Josh Heupel's this JUCO dude who's like, oh, we're going to win the national championship in 2000. And they're like, dude, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, what? No, we're not. And they did. And so I'm sorry. Like, I'm doing the parallel thing here. And you got to, let's see, you got a transfer quarterback. Not a huge NFL prospect, but a great college player, kind of a Heisman candidate. You got a team that people pick to go about 7-5, 8-4 maybe. You got all these huge games ahead of them.
You're saying that there's some parallels
I'm
there.
Just saying there's some parallels.
Joe, you are going to get Tennessee fans really scared, nervous.
Well, they're losing by 10 to LSU. So believe me, I guess that's why the story had to come out now, you know, because before everything goes completely crashy that hill. No, but I don't think they're actually going to pull that out. But I will say, like, especially the Alabama parallel now to Nebraska. And then that's basically what Nebraska was in is what Alabama is now. And of course, Alabama, number one again, coming to Neyland Stadium a week from Saturday. If Tennessee gets through this game and gets a win, however you get a win, you'll be thrilled to beat LSU. What a week that'll be.
Well,
a day that'll be.
It's I was thinking about this the other day. Like, it's a long way from over, and I think there are some losses coming up on Tennessee's schedule here. But think about when Josh Heupel was hired. The reaction, not only with the two of us, but really the majority of Tennessee fans that I saw, the reaction wasn't great. It was like, oh. So Danny White just went out and hired the guy that he was already with at UCF that's gotten worse every year and the recruiting's not good. Okay, cool. That'll work out well. That was basically the reaction when Josh Heupel was hired at Tennessee of, man, well, like, is there a chance that he can get it back to respectability at some point before the next coach comes in? I mean, we were talking about that the day he got hired. People were calling in about that.
Right. Can you just get it to not being embarrassing for a while?
For the next coach.
Yeah, for a coach who can actually win.
Right. Like, yeah. We talked about that the day he got hired. It is amazing that, and again, I think some losses are coming. But here on the second year of his tenure as head coach, we're October 5th. They're going down to LSU. They're a favorite in that game. And they're a top 10 team in the country. Like, the job that he's done thus far, especially given what he took over, I don't know if remarkable is the right word. He's done a fantastic job. Like, he has been the rebuilding on the fly that he's had to do this program is pretty incredible. And a lot of it's, you know, the offense. I mean, the offense is ridiculous what they've been able to do. But the fact that we're sitting here where that program was, what the conversation looked like the day he got hired, and they're the number 8 team in the country right now in October heading down to LSU, it's pretty incredible.
It is. And look, I think we said, Danny White.
Yes. What are you doing?
What are you doing? So actually, Danny White, by the way, was one of the better interviews for the story. And, yeah, look, day of the press conference, every coach, it's just like a recruiting press conference. Like, oh, we're happy with our class. We're through, you know, you hire a coach. This was our top choice all along. And I was, okay, sure. You know, I went back through all this stuff with Danny White last week about hiring him. And I did not want to screw over UCF, essentially. I'm paraphrasing there, okay? Because he'd already left them in a lurch, and he did – I mean, the way he described it is like he wasn't even thinking about Josh Heupel. He was like, I can't do that to him. And then he's like, okay, maybe I'm going to do that to him.
Yeah.
His explanation of – and even like the going down – first of all, he's like, I can't tell you a lot of stuff about the COVID year, but like it was a COVID year. And I mean, I think we talked about that. Like, you know, a team goes like 6-4 and in 2020, that year is the recruiting. He claimed recruiting rankings at that level. Like, you can't do it. The recruiting was getting better. I promise you the recruiting was getting better. Okay. I mean, all I can go by is by the rankings.
Yeah.
The rankings said it wasn't, but it's interesting too, because also, by the way, he took over for the hottest coaching candidate in the entire country, who then went to Nebraska and completely laid an egg.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I mean, it's think of like some of the hot coaches over the years, and then they flame out, and you almost forget about them. Like Scott Frost is going to be somebody's like linebackers coach next year.
Think about Tom Herman.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up. Tom Herman was LSU. They all want him. Texas, all their bit. And now it's like, I don't even know what he's doing. I think he's an analyst somewhere. So it's amazing how they rise and fall. But I agree with your assessment of Heupel at Tennessee. I mean, it's, you know, if they go 8-4 this year, then this will calm down some. And they could, okay? But, like, if they even go 9-3 this year in the second year, when you consider what he inherited and the negativity along with the roster and the scandal, et cetera, I mean, if they go 10-2 this year, I think he's probably National Coach of the Year. Or he's freaking close to it. And you never know. Sometimes there'll be a fickle last year, a team that comes out of nowhere that does extreme.
Oh, Leopold goes 12-0 in Kansas.
Well, yeah. Seriously, I mean, Leopold would be the odds-on favorite right now. But it's a pretty remarkable job. That's the bottom line.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation. Got more of your thoughts to get to as well on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Tune in to this Sunday's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5-106.3 The Game. This week's game will feature the Dallas Cowboys against the Los Angeles Rams at 325. NFL Games of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5-106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Slingshot Me of Music City. Experience a whole new Nashville with a Polaris Slingshot rental. Let the amazing views take your breath away as you view the sights as never seen before in an open-aired auto cycle. Get a four-hour rental for only $115 at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5-106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing a big piece done at theathletic.com by our own Joe Rexrode on Josh Heupel. Taking your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenneth on the text line says, I'd say Heupel has done an amazing job with what he started with. And got another texter talking about the Oklahoma atmosphere as well when Josh Heupel was a player, comparing that to what he said about Tennessee as well. I mean, they are two different places, but two pretty awesome atmospheres.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the very short list of best college, you know, programs historically, atmosphere, stadiums, all that stuff. And again, Josh Heupel has seen Oklahoma at its best. I mean, that's still the last national championship for the Sooners. Now, he helped coach a lot of great teams that didn't quite get there and a lot of great atmospheres. But again, if you go back and read anything about the win over Nebraska in particular, again, 2 years earlier, I guess 3 years earlier, 69-7, Nebraska. I mean, again, it would kind of be like if this Tennessee team were to beat Alabama a week from Saturday at home after being not just dominated but mostly blown out time and time and time again by Alabama. Yep. I know you're not even going to allow yourself to imagine that, but
I'm not.
Robbie's dad's not going to let himself imagine that either.
Oh, no. My gosh. He's already cackling. But you know what? Sometimes things like this happen.
A great time since 2006 in the Stanley household. Real fun.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible, man.
It's not impossible. I was there the last time it happened, though. It was a long time ago.
Orange October.
Orange October.
For the meantime, Halloween.
You love that. You love that, Michelle.
In the meantime, they've got LSU coming up on Saturday, and Joe Rexrode already chalked up a victory for the Vols in this game, but I will say it's going to be interesting down there. 2.5-point favorite for Tennessee. You know, we talked with Wes Rucker a little bit ago about that matchup specifically. I think even if Cedric Tillman can't play, Tennessee's offense is going to be able to do some things pretty positively in this game. And really the question I think Wes threw out there is a good one. Who can slow down the Tennessee offense? I think there are a couple of teams coming up on their schedule that have a chance to do that in Alabama and Georgia. Beyond that, I don't know if there is a team in there that could stop Tennessee's offense, but the follow-up question I would have is, well, can Tennessee's defense stop anybody else? That's going to be the question that they've got to answer as they move ahead here in the next few weeks.
That is interesting that you give Kentucky no possibility.
Did you watch that game last year?
I did. Yeah, I was about 10 yards of play. But, hey, just like I feel like Tennessee could maybe come get a Georgia, get an Alabama on the right day. I feel like Kentucky has probably one of the better chances on the schedule of slowing them down. But
they certainly have a better chance than Missouri.
That is true.
I think. Although I will say
Missouri looked
pretty good the other day.
Missouri was just like, we're going to attack you and we're going to just like man up your receivers and do something about it. I was like, how is that working?
It was really weird.
But it worked most of the game. That was very weird. And LSU is they're a really strange team. They're like the opposite of the Titans. They fall way behind. And then they have way better second halves. This has happened all year long. So, Tennessee, you want to jump on them before the crowd settles in an 11 a.m. start, which I agree with Wes is a nice thing for Tennessee. But then they also have, and maybe this is coaching halftime adjustments, whatever it is, they've had some total lockdown second halves. I think the most impressive was against Mississippi State. Mississippi State's good and has one loss, and it was a game they were actually controlling against LSU. And they flipped it around on them the second half. So I don't know how that applies to this week. It's still that offense is still not this Tennessee offense. They're quite different. But I think Tennessee, even without Tillman, until you show me someone consistently stopping this offense, I'm not going to buy it.
Well, they've already come out and announced that the Tennessee-Alabama game is the CBS game next week. Like, if Tennessee goes down to LSU and they win and they take care of business, is it going to be number one Alabama, number seven Tennessee, number six Tennessee? It's going to be pretty darn close to a top five matchup up there in Knoxville.
That's the thing. You know, as a fan, you can think about these things. You better hope these players.
I know.
And I will say this, too, in the midst of all these interviews for this Heupel story, I talked to, Halsley and Golish and all these guys. It should be no surprise, but the absolute number one theme this week is, okay, everybody says you're great, so don't listen to them. It's rat poison week for Tennessee.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody says you're great, and if those coaches are like, if you guys have one spare thought about Alabama and game day coming back or whatever, number one against number five, whatever it could be, well, guess what?
You're going to lose.
Yeah, you'll be humbled at LSU. LSU's good enough to do that, Tennessee. Jaden Daniels, though, the QB run stuff has been problematic for Tennessee. He's very inconsistent. Their passing is very inconsistent. He did look really good in the second half at Auburn.
He did.
Which is what I thought we'd see the whole game. And they were getting dominated in that game.
They're getting coached up by Brian Harsin down there. They're going to be just fine down there on the Plains.
That's true. Play, yeah, yeah. Win one for Harsin, even though apparently he knows he's going to get fired and they just don't want to tell anybody until the end of the year.
I will say, we're Wednesday of the Tennessee LSU week, and not much talk out for Brian Kelly out of you thus far. I'm surprised. John on the text line last week was looking forward to this. It's a big week. We'll have to be a little bit better in the next couple days about Brian Kelly and his Southern accent. The pregame speech for LSU, I'm sure, will be invigorating coming up on Saturday morning down there.
I mean, to be fair, on that day, we did an entire show about his accent.
And we did.
Just imitating various accents. So I do think we kind of emptied the chamber that day.
We did.
But yeah, maybe we can come. We'll come back with something. We need does McAfee's guy, does he do a Southern?
Ty Schmidt?
I don't know. The Lou Holtz is amazing.
The Lou Holtz one's pretty good. I don't know if he does a Brian Kelly one. I'm very disappointed in Brian Kelly for not keeping that going. I thought that was kind of going to be his thing now. I mean, if you have enough, I guess, awareness to do that on a microphone in front of 17,000 people at a basketball game, I just feel like you should go with it from that point on.
Yeah, I agree. He took a lot of crap, so he backed off. If he just leaned in on that, I would have a lot more respect for that. I do hope he continues to do the awkward dances with the camera circling around him and recruits
too.
That then pick other schools. I do hope that continues.
Yes, me too. Although I will say he's got him at 4-1 down there.
No, he's a good coach.
He is.
They're going to be, he's a good coach. They're going to be good. It's going to be very interesting to see what it means. I mean, they had a massive influx of transfers this year to try to be good. They still have a lot of talent, and he's a good coach.
I just don't know that I've ever seen anyone that's like, he did this at Notre Dame too, like trying to be funny and trying to make jokes, even at press conferences, and just not funny. Like, it's just, some people just aren't funny.
Yeah.
And like Brian Kelly to me is like the king of just, he's not funny.
Well, it's like last year when Notre Dame, well, they came back to beat, they ended up winning that Florida State game.
Yeah.
And then you know, sideline reporter asked him something. He's like, I'm in favor of our team's execution.
Yeah.
I was like, no, but that's not, that's a John McKay joke, but you got to
deliver it right, man.
You have to be asked, what did you think of the execution? I'm in favor of it.
Yeah.
But he was just like, I'd like to kill our team. I was like, that's not funny. All right. Get out of here, buddy. Get out of here, BK.
Like, it's,
let's kill all the players. Yay. Ha, 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 like,
he's funny because he's like unintentionally so awkward. That's what it kind of boils down to. But hey, you know what? Good football coach down there at LSU.
He is. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But this is the year. You know, you're Tennessee. You got to get him this year. You got to get him in this team this year with the team you have. And of course, you brought it up earlier, but maybe make up a little bit for that last trip down to Baton Rouge.
I mean, I will say, sneaky strategy by Derek Dooley last time they were down there. Sent the whole sideline out for goal line defense. There's no way in the world LSU was getting in the end zone on that play, baby.
That was his first year, right? Was that his first year or his second year?
I believe that was his second year.
So they'd already had.
No,
the
that
North
was
Carolina?
His first year.
Yeah, yeah. So that at that point, year. It was like, oh, hopes are high for Derek Dooley. And yeah, and then later they had the North Carolina. They had the bowl game. Yeah. Oh boy.
Same year. Look at the replay.
Good,
like,
good stuff.
Oh my God. There's 34 defensive players out there. What's going on out there?
You get the telestrator like, ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
Lost count.
Finally. You know, retribution for that 14 years later, whatever it is.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get back in the Titans coming up next. Take a look at the matchup against the Washington Commanders and Carson Wentz. Not a great start to the season for Carson Wentz. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited.
I hope I just play that on loop all week.
That's actually, it's been so long now. I mean, it really is amazing.
Had to bring it back.
He just had that feeling, you know?
He did.
He was in there. He's hanging out with Kim Mulkey, and he's just like, oh, yeah.
Like he just walked out of Bubba Gump Shrimp Company down there ready to make a speech. Awesome.
Shrimp sandwich.
Shrimp stew. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Great movie.
Good. Yes. And good moment from a heck of a coach.
Oh, yes.
BK. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Brian. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Commanders. Joe, I brought this up earlier. So we talked last year. Carson Wentz last year, I mean, he was not averse to the Carson Wentz death pick that we've seen at times throughout his career. But he did only turn the ball over interception-wise 7 times last year. So, I mean, 27 touchdowns, 7 picks. It's not bad from Carson Wentz a year
max
ago.
Max value out of those picks.
He
max
did get
disaster value out of those picks.
Certainly max value out of the interceptions. He's already thrown 5 this year in 4 games in Washington. And you bring up an interesting point, which I agree with. I mean, I think his receiving core is better in Washington than it was last year in Indianapolis. But nonetheless, 5 interceptions thus far. He's lost a fumble as well, so 6 total turnovers. So we're not talking like Matt Ryan territory or anything like that and the clear upgrade that he is in Indianapolis as the starting quarterback. But a lot of turnovers thus far for Carson Wentz. An opportunity on Sunday for the Titans to get after him with an offensive line that's been atrocious thus far this year, and maybe see if you can add to those numbers a little bit. Christian Fulton playing really well right now. You know, I know a lot of that's coming man-to-man defense, which is hard to get interceptions in as well. But I think an opportunity to maybe grab a football or two for the Titans coming up on Sunday after an impressive defensive performance from a turnover perspective against the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Washington Commanders, it's just like the secondary. It's like, huh, I'm not familiar with some of these guys, you know, like left tackle Charles Leno Jr. I don't know that guy.
Any relation to Jay?
I'm not sure. Sam Cosmi at right tackle. Questionable, by the way. So, I mean, those are two real problem areas for the Commanders. Protecting the passer and then, you know, defending the pass. Now, if Jahan Dotson's missing this game, which appears likely, but we'll see. You know, that's a big loss. But Terry McLaurin is a stud.
Oh, yeah.
And Curtis Samuel, a guy I've always loved his potential in the NFL. He's kind of more of a running back at Ohio State, but he's settled into a nice role. And Logan Thomas is a tight end. We just saw some tight ends do some damage to the Titans defense. So I think Carson Wentz will make some plays, but can you get after him? Can you force a couple of those mistakes? I think that's a huge key in this game, and you know, if you can do that, then you should be in good shape. They are good up front defensively, so even without Chase Young, they've got some guys up there. Jonathan Allen's a really good player, but the Titans, are they running the ball now? Are they a running team that can actually run the ball now? Is that what they are?
I hope so.
I mean, if they can, then I love them in this game.
Yeah, I mean, if Derrick Henry looks like he's looked the last couple of weeks, I like the Titans' chances in this game. Now, Mike from Shelbyville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Washington football team, more like Washington team, we're going to cream. Am I right? I'm not falling in the trap. I'm not doing it this week. I will not do it. I am not overlooking the Washington Commanders. I've seen too much from this Titans team. I won't do it. I'm not going to sit here and just act like this is some automatic win for the Titans. I won't do it. Coach Robbie.
Well, but you're right, because this is there's no automatic win for this team the way they're playing, and they're playing good in some stretches. So if you can do that for a full game, maybe get to a winning record before we start talking about looking past people. I mean, it's the NFL; they aren't the Titans teams of 2020 and 21. Not right now. That actually could look past people because they were winning against great teams and they were really good and they were, you know, leading their division and getting a number one seed on it. So they're a 2-2 team that, granted, just got a good win, big win on the road in the division, also against a team that isn't good right now.
Well,
and if you don't believe me, watch that 10-9 Broncos-Colts game tomorrow night.
Well, also, like, if I'm a Titans fan, like, aren't you looking around at some point and looking at players and being like, all right, has this not happened to you enough at this point where the thought of overlooking someone just doesn't even enter your mind? Like, I would hope, given the Jets loss last year, the Texans loss last year, regardless of what you think of the Giants this year, they are 3-1, but a team that you should have beaten in a game you should have won this year, like, when that happens enough, like, every team probably ought to get your attention, and I think it does with this Titans team. Now, that doesn't mean that they're just automatically going to go out there and win, because they got some problems as they head into this game. But I don't really worry about them overlooking Washington in this game.
If they lose this game, they'll probably lose it because they've got some serious deficiencies. But the question will still be asked.
Oh yeah,
right. I mean, even if it ends up, it's a great week of focus and preparation, and they just they got like Commanders. The Commanders fight song playing through. I'm sure it's a really good fight song, you know.
Well.
Just playing through the facility, like big poster Ron Rivera, you know. They're throwing darts at it, even if that's all the
case. Well, I wonder. I mean, the Commanders earlier this year, they had, like, coffee mugs for sale in their plaza, and it was, the W of their team, and it was the state of Washington in the background. It wasn't Washington, D.C.
Really?
Yes. It was the state of Washington, so – I guess some company had a misprint or something, but yeah, they had coffee mugs for sale with the state of Washington in the background.
What an embarrassment for Daniel Snyder.
Truly is the Washington
the first
football
one of his
team.
Career.
Yes. The first one out there. I mean, look, Terry McLaurin could get matched up with, Terrence Mitchell or Caleb Farley out there and end up going for 255 yards in this game. I don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, that's the thing. Okay, so take Dotson out. And Dotson, again, Dotson's really good. That's a big loss for the Commanders if they lose him. But the Titans are not getting Elijah Molden back. So at this point, they got a cornerback issue. They got someone who the other team is going to be like, wherever that guy is, we're going there. Whether it's Mitchell or Farley, it's absolutely it's easy. I disagree, by the way, with PK from earlier. I mean, McCreary hasn't been perfect. McCreary, I think, has been pretty good. I'll take what McCreary has given them.
Oh, yeah.
Week after week after week. Yeah, a little handsy here and there, give up a play here and there, but the guy's good. But that's a weak spot. And then, you know, also, by the way, is Hooker going to be off concussion protocol this week? That's a big thing.
Very interesting to monitor starting today out there at Titans practice as well. I got a text that says, when everybody picks the Titans to win the game, that's usually when they lose. Chuck on the text line says, if the Titans are close or behind the Commanders at halftime, I'm not even watching the second half.
Just
from
blown
Chuck.
Out. What if it means that they're flipping it around? What if it means they're flipping the script?
They got to flip it at some point, right?
Yeah, but what if they could actually do two good halves? Could you? I mean, can you imagine?
I don't know what to do.
This is a decent team to try that against. You might be able to pull it off.
Maybe so. Dennis on the text line says, listening to you guys with my son on our way to see Cubs and Reds to celebrate his 16th birthday.
Nice.
Thanks for entertaining us. Happy birthday. 16, that's a big one.
Happy birthday, buddy. That's awesome. Cubs, Reds. So I assume that's at Cincy?
I guess.
Which means there'll be more Cubs fans there today, too, so that'll be fun. Unless you guys are Reds fans. I don't know. Is Dennis a Reds or a Cubs fan?
I don't know.
Let us know, Dennis, but do it. Text to voice. Or
just tweet us
voice
a picture.
To text.
Yes.
Voice to text. Yeah, not text to voice. What the hell?
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.